Sometimes we hear the phrase all in. What does it mean when it comes to our relationship with God? Let's talk about it on today's edition of The Encouraging Word. Welcome to The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author and evangelist, and today he dives into the book of Exodus. Matter of fact, we'll start in chapter 20 of Exodus with his message, No Other Gods. Are we all in for Jesus Christ? And sometimes the other gods we might be serving are less obvious than we think. It's not an idol, but is it something we're making an idol in our own life? As we study God's Word together, I want you to know that we're here for you, both online at theencouragingword.org and at the other end of 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Store it in yourself. We're ready 24 hours a day to talk, to listen, to pray. We'd love to connect with you. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Need your Bibles, as always. We're going to be in the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. The book of Exodus in chapter 20, the Ten Commandments that God has given to us. I'm going to read just the first five verses. Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts on this Lord's day. I should imagine that for the rest of my life, I'm going to be constantly reminded of September 11th in the year 2001. We will see pictures, we will be reminded on anniversaries, we will build memorials, and all of us will be gripped throughout our lifetime by the events of September 11th. There is a war going on. Our country is engaged. Our men and women are in uniform, defending the freedoms of the United States and of the peoples of the world, fighting against terrorism. The question that comes to mind is simply this: why would people do such things? What kind of religion would compel someone who is educated, someone who is a father, perhaps, someone who has rubbed shoulders with peace-loving people, someone who has lived even in our communities, someone who has gained access to the land which flows with milk and honey? What would compel people to do such things? I want to say to you, my beloved friends, today that I am a born-again Christian. I've given my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that He died upon the cross for me. And I believe that what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me, that He'll do exactly the same thing for you. That the Lord Jesus has come to set us free. Now, as a believer and someone who knows that he is going to heaven, not because of my own merit, but only because of the Lord Jesus, there are many convictions that I have. I do not have time to preach to you about all my personal convictions because of what Jesus has done for me. I can tell you one of them: I'm against abortion. I believe that abortion is a criminal, murderous act in the eyes of God. Now, why do I believe that? Because I believe that God is life. And I believe that life begins at conception. I believe that that very sperm and that egg are the life of God Himself. And so I believe that abortion in any form or any fashion is murder. And that comes out of my conviction. But I do not believe that God has called upon me to go and murder an abortion doctor. I do not believe that God sanctions me as a believer with strong convictions to go and blow up abortion clinics and to hurt innocent people. I do not believe that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ invites me to take drastic measures aimed at society that result in such pain and hurt and suffering. And so it is in the Muslim world. I believe that in America today that there are many hundreds, if not thousands, of Muslims who have deep and abiding convictions about their religion. And what we're dealing with here is not the average Muslim. I believe that what we're dealing with here is radical fundamentalism, a group of people who happen to be Muslims who have taken the teachings of Muhammad, the Prophet, and the Quran, and they have taken them to a level at which I would like to believe that most Muslims would radically disagree with. And yet there are common threads that run through the Muslim religion. I want us this morning to consider the subject that God announced, no other gods. God is a jealous God. And God is the one who announced to the world on Mount Sinai, He said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I am a jealous God. I tolerate no rivalry. I will not have anything to do with any God who seeks to place himself before me, because I am who I am." But we are living in critical days, and the question which rises in my heart and in your heart is a very simple one. What would compel these radical Muslims to do what they're doing? What would make a man, whether he belongs to Hamas, or whether he's a Shiite, or whether he belongs to some other group, what would compel a man to strap himself with bombs and walk into a crowded marketplace in downtown Jerusalem and summarily execute even innocent people? What would compel a group of men to hijack an airplane and to cut people's throats and to fly those planes into the trade centers and into the Pentagon and to murder and to maim and to cause such pain and hurt and suffering? What would cause people to blow up the embassy in Kenya? What causes a group of people who are convicted about their religious beliefs to go to such extremes, to do what they do? What does God, Jehovah, have to say about this? We're going to look at this from the perspective of three very important questions this morning. I'm going to give you a lot of notes, and I hope that you're able to write quickly. The first important question we're going to ask is this: is the God of the Muslim the same as the God of the Christian? Now, friends, this is a very important question. I have met people, I have been asked this question myself. The question or statement is simply this: Pastor, surely Muslims worship God and we worship God, we're just trying to get there by different means. And ultimately, we're worshiping the same God. Is not the Muslim God, Allah, the same as the Christian God? Well, here's the answer from the Word of God. Absolutely not. The Muslim God is not in any form or fashion even closely identified with the Christian God. Now, why? Let me give you four or five reasons for this. Number one, because the Muslim God's name is Allah. The Christian God's name is God. First reason why the Muslim God is not the Christian God: because the Muslim God calls his God Allah. The Christian, his God, has a name. My God's name is God, Jehovah. Number two, second reason why the God of the Muslim is not the same as the God of the Christian is because the Muslim God's name is pronounceable. His name is Allah. Now you can write that down, A-L-L-A-H. You can write that with great respect, in respect of Muslims. You can say the name Allah. You can spell the name Allah. His name is pronounceable. You can speak it. You can spell it. But not so the Christian God. The Christian God's name, first of all, is unable to be pronounced. Second of all, the Christian God's name is unable to be spoken. And third of all, the Christian God's name is unable to be spelled. Yahweh, or Yahweh, in the old text, in the Hebrew text, is void of vowels. Let's take my name, for example. My name is Donald. Now, not a lot of people call me Donald, and I just want to make that announcement. In fact, when I was growing up, it was very common in my home when I was a little fella to hear my mother say, "Don, Don, Don, Don." But when she got to Donald, that's when I came running. You want to get my attention, I guess you call me Donald. But let's take my name, D-O-N-A-L-D. Just remove the vowels. For those of you that are struggling, take the O out and the A out. All right? Let me tell you what will happen. You won't be able to pronounce my name. My name just becomes... It's an unpronounceable. You cannot spell it. You cannot speak it. It is unutterable. My name just doesn't make sense anymore. Vowels bring sense into something that doesn't make sense. Yahweh, Jehovah, has no vowels, and we put in the vowels to help us within our weakness and within our humanity and our limitations, but God, Jehovah, is unpronounceable. What happened when God spoke to Moses? Moses was about to go to the greatest king in all the world. Those people in Pharaoh's day believed that the king, Pharaoh, was almighty. They called him almighty. They bowed down to him. He had unlimited power and unlimited resource. And God came to Moses and said to him, "Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh." And Moses got the jitterbugs and he said, "But Lord, you realize you're sending me to the greatest sovereign in all the world?" And God said, "Uh-huh. You think I am?" And Moses said, "Yes." And God, "Please help me. If I'm going to gain access to the greatest sovereign in all the world, I at least need to be able to tell him who sent me." And God looked at Moses and he said to him, "Moses, you just go to the greatest sovereign in the world and all you need to do is say, 'I am sent me.' Let me tell you why I am sent you. Because I am who I am. I am the unutterable one. You cannot speak my name. You cannot even come into my presence. I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I reign supreme. I am Creator. I am the covenant maker. And I alone am the Lord your God. And thou shalt have no other gods before me."
It's a bold statement we know to be true, but are we living out the response to that and pledging ourselves exclusively to our Lord Jesus Christ? Forgive the interruption. My pastor wants me to remind you we're available to talk, to listen, to pray right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'll be back with the conclusion of the message right after this.
Are you seeking or rejecting God? The proof of love is the investment of time. You already know God loves you. He sent his son to die on the cross for your sins so that you could be forgiven and free. But have you ever wondered how to love him in return? The Bible says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." How do you do that? How do you practically live out that kind of love? This month, Dr. Don Wilton wants to help encourage and inspire you to pursue the God who is pursuing you in his message, Going After Jesus. Going After Jesus is available on CD or DVD for your gift of any amount today. Write to us at Post Office Box 2110, Spartanburg, South Carolina, 29304, or call us toll-free at 866-899-WORD, or visit online at theencouragingword.org. Thank you for your support. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry that broadcasts the good news of Jesus Christ around the world.
Now, today's conclusion of the message.
Is the Muslim God the same as the Christian God? I think not. Let me give you a third reason why. because the Muslim God is one chosen from among many. If you go back and look across the history, in the early seed bed of the Islamic nations of the world, even before they were called as such, there was great discrepancy and great division. It was Muhammad, the prophet who died in 631 in Mecca, who came to the point at which he recognized that the Muslim world or the Islamic nations had to be united. And so it was that Muhammad selected Allah, chosen from among many. Let me give you some of the other gods of the Muslim world. There's Hubal, H-U-B-A-L, who was the chief god of the Kaaba, K-A-B-A. Very significant because of Mecca, and I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But it was Hubal, the chief god of the Kaaba, who had three sister goddesses. Their names were Al-Lat, Al-Manat, and Al-Uzza. Now listen to this. In his early teachings, Muhammad the prophet at first said that these three sister goddesses were deities. But then he changed his mind, saying that he had been corrupted by Satan. You can read about it. They called the satanic verses in the Quran, chapter 13, 18 through 23, and chapter 22, verses 51 through verse 53. Muslim God, Allah, was selected from among many. The Christian God is but one who always was and was never selected because he always is. There's a fourth reason why the Muslim God is not the same as the Christian God, and that is simply put because Allah has no fatherhood. The Christian God, Jehovah, is the father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, because God is the father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as such, there are three very important things to understand. Number one, that God is love. Number two, that God is forgiveness. Number three, that God is alive. Number four, that God is hope. You see, we have hope today, we have hope tomorrow, and we have hope beyond the grave. Our God is a living God. I want to submit to you that this nation, these United States of America, was one nation founded, one nation under God. Who is this God? He is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loves, the one who forgives, the one who's alive, and the one who gives us hope beyond the grave. Is the Muslim God our God? No, he isn't. Here's the second question I want to ask today. Is the Muslim heaven the same as the Christian heaven? Now, I want you to listen very carefully. This is very important in helping us to try and understand the Muslim mind, and in helping us, those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, in helping us to respond in love, in helping us to understand why radical elements would do what they do. Why do people hate America? Why do these people hate America? Why do they call us the great Satan? Why do they want to do everything to hurt our people? This country that has been so generous, this country that gives so much, this country that opens up its arms and welcomes people from every persuasion into its beautiful shores. Is the Muslim heaven the same as the Christian heaven? In short, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Now, why? One reason, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Muslims believe in Jesus Christ. Did you know that? The Quran teaches about him. But they believe in Jesus Christ with major fundamental differences. Jesus Christ is named in the Quran in the company of several well-known prophets. Let me give you some of them. Adam is named as the chosen of God. Noah is named as the prophet of God. Abraham, the friend of God. Moses, the converser with God. Jesus, the spirit of God. Muhammad is named as the apostle of God. In short, listen to this carefully. Islam has some major denials and disagreements with Christianity. And if we're going to ask the question, is Muslim heaven the same as a Christian heaven? We've got to understand some of these important issues. Well, what are some of the denials and disagreements with Christianity between Muslims and Christianity? Let me give you a couple of them. Number one, the Muslims believe that the Bible, this book, this precious word of God, they believe that the Bible is corrupt and it is inferior to the Quran. Number two, Muslims believe that Christians are, quote unquote, a people of the book, and that they are a people who follow untruthful doctrines. These are some of the areas of denial and disagreement between Muslims and Christians. Number three, they believe that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. Now, folks, listen to me. You can believe anything you want to about the Lord Jesus. You can believe he's a good man. You can believe he lived on the earth. You can believe he even performed miracles. But if you deny the fact that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God, you do not believe in Jesus Christ. All right? Are you listening this morning? That's a major disagreement. Number four, Muslims believe that the teaching of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, is the worst of all sin. Number five, Muslims believe that Jesus was not crucified and he did not die on a cross. Now they believe that he was a good man. They name him as a prophet. They believe that it's even possible that he died for his convictions, but they do not believe that he was crucified or that he died upon a cross. Number six, Muslims believe that Jesus never rose from the dead. You see, folks, we worship a living Savior. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He's alive. He lives within our hearts. He's in heaven. He's coming back to take us to be with himself. We're going to live with him forever and forever. And we can know that we know that we know these things for sure. Number seven, Muslims believe that Jesus is not the mediator between God and man or the savior of man's sins. They do not believe that Jesus atoned for the sins of man. Now, you say to me today, Pastor, what do Muslims believe about heaven? I'm going to simply say this to you. Where is heaven? Everybody, where's heaven? Point up. Come on, everybody. Listen, buddy, if you're going there, you better point up. Otherwise, you're in trouble. All right? Heaven is up. We know that because Jesus went up and he's coming back down and he went into the clouds. What does the Bible say about heaven? Heaven is the place where God is, where Jesus is. 1 Thessalonians 4, at the time of the rapture, Jesus is going to come in the clouds. We're going to be caught up to be meeting Jesus Christ in the air, and we're going to go to be with him forever. At the end of the tribulation, we're going to be coming back with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to set up his rule and reign upon this earth. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are going to be united in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. What does this mean? Is the Muslim heaven the same as the Christian heaven? Absolutely not. No Jesus, no heaven. No Jesus, no heaven. Friend, if there is no Jesus, there's going to be no heaven. But if you believe in Jesus Christ and you know him, you're going to know him in heaven and you're going to live with him. Is the Muslim heaven the same as the Christian heaven? Absolutely not. There is no way, there is no connection whatsoever. Question number one, is the Muslim God the same as the Christian God? Is Allah the same as God? Nope. Is the Muslim heaven the same as the Christian heaven? Absolutely not. And so it gives us one more question. Here it is. How then does a Muslim go to a Muslim heaven? Now, folks, this is very important. Here you're going to discover why some radical fundamentalist Muslims go to the extremes that they do. What is it that a Muslim believes is going to gain him entrance into a Muslim heaven? As a born-again believer, someone who's given his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and someone who believes with all my heart that Jesus died upon the cross, I do not believe that there is any such thing as a Muslim heaven. But I'm going to ask myself this question. How does a Muslim believe that he is going to go to a Muslim heaven? Number one, if Allah wills it, if Allah wills it, Muslims believe profoundly that they will never actually know that they are going to a Muslim heaven. Only Allah will determine that. Now, the moment you say that, you immediately have to revert to a works-based religion, which means, quite candidly, that Muslims believe that they have to do things, all kinds of things, in order to gain the love and the attention and the affection of their God, Allah. And maybe, if they work hard enough, Allah might allow them to come into a Muslim heaven. See, I'm so glad that Jesus died for me upon the cross. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 goes like this. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It is God's gift to us, the Lord Jesus Christ, not of works, because if it was of works, we would brag to each other. You see, we cannot work our way into the kingdom of heaven. We go to heaven because of the grace of God and because of the sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross. So number one, a Muslim believes he will go to a Muslim heaven if Allah wills. Number two, he will go to heaven by virtue of the creed, the creed. Now there is a Muslim creed. It's very simple and I'm going to read it for you. Here's the Muslim creed. There is no God but God. Muhammad is the messenger of God. That's the Muslim creed. Now Muslims believe, they are convicted about this, and I respect them for that. Muslims believe that you must not only say the creed, but you must believe it. The more you say it, the more you believe it. And the more you believe it, the more you will say it. And saying the creed is within itself conversion to Islam. It's called the Shahada. And what it is, it's the great confession. And so written into their rules and instructions, Muslims need to say the creed, I believe, at least 14 times daily. And the creed within itself provides a road map to their religion. How do we respond to Muslims? Three ways. Number one, by praying for them. I really believe Muslims teach us what it means to pray with conviction. Folks, we serve a living God. And God has called upon us to pray for the peoples of the world. Second of all, our response is to love them. Yes, the Lord said we must love all people because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not die, but should have eternal life. We must not only pray for Muslims, but we must love them. But third of all, we need to witness to them. We need to share our faith.
We do need to share our faith, and it's easier than you think. We would love to stand alongside you to pray you through and maybe give you some resources that will help you share your story of how God is changing your life. Or perhaps today is the day when you realize you don't have a story to tell, but it's hard to share your faith because you have an experience perhaps like mine growing up in and around the church, knowing about God, but not knowing him personally. For me, it changed my life when I began to move from that religion to a relationship. We'd love to talk with you, pray with you. Our number is 866-899-WORD. We're connecting 24 hours a day, and we would love to connect with you. We can do that online as well at theencouragingword.org or again on the phone at 866-899-WORD. If you'd like to order today's message, it's 622R. That's the number, 622R. Or you can find it online at theencouragingword.org. Till next time, have a great day.